We're going to have a bit of a picture quiz now. Okay, so we're going to have a couple of pictures up on the screen in a minute. And I want you to see if you can work out what film the picture is from or TV show and what the vehicle or the object is. Okay, so the first picture. There we go. Okay. So easy. What kind of vehicle is that? Who knows? I'm coming over.
Car.
A car, yeah. It is. Exactly right. It's a car. Do you know what film that's from?
Minions.
Minions, yeah. So that is from one of the Minions or Despicable Me films. And do you know who the lady is inside that car? No? Does anybody know? Who knows? Oh, hang on. Right, I'm going to stick this through the middle.
Lucy.
It is Lucy. Okay, now does anybody know what is special about Lucy's car? What can it do? Does anybody know? Joe knows.
It can go underwater.
It can go underwater. So if we can see the next picture, there it is. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So it can transform into a bit of like a submarine. Fantastic. Okay, the next one. Ooh, this is for us oldies. Does anybody know? Well, we know it's a car. Does anybody know what type of car it is?
It's a DeLorean.
It is a DeLorean. Are DeLoreans really good cars, good quality cars?
I don't think so.
No, they're not really known as good cars. So what films is this from? Yeah, go on.
Do you know? Oh, it's Back to the Future.
Yep, so Back to the Future films. And what's special about this car? Because it's not just a car. Does anybody else know? What does it do? I'm sure I saw a hand. Oh, here we go. Right, hang on. I'll knock stand over things.
It travels through time.
It does. It travels through time. So if we see the next picture, there it is. It drives along, and once it gets up to 88 miles per hour, I think, it moves in time forwards or backwards. It can't go to a different place, though. It stays in the same place, but just a different time. Okay, next one. Not exactly a vehicle. Who knows what this is?
I know what film it's from.
Okay, what film or show? Doctor Who, yep, so this is from Doctor Who, and in real life, well, it kind of says on it, it's a police box, isn't it? I had to look up what police boxes were really for last night just to make sure I knew. So before mobile phones, the police could use this to contact the station, report things. The station could make the light on the top, you can't quite see it, flash, and that would give a signal to all of the policemen who back in the day were actually out on the streets wandering around. They would see the signal, phone back to the station and get a message. And the big ones like this, there was a little desk in it. It had a fire extinguisher, a first aid kit, and a dustpan and brush. A desk with a drawer, I learned. And they could even hold people in there as a mini prison until help arrived. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's pretty cool on its own. But what does this, well, what does the one in Doctor Who do? Anybody? Yeah, adults can answer. Yeah, it travels through space and time, exactly, Wendy. So we'll have the next picture. So this is the inside. So it's not really just space for a desk and a dustpan and brush. Inside the TARDIS, there is this vast amount of space, and it travels through space and time. Pretty amazing. And the last one. This might be for some of you younger ones. Does anybody know which car this is? Who knows? Yeah?
Is it Bumblebee?
It is Bumblebee. And who knows what Bumblebee does? Do you want to say? Yeah.
Transforms?
Yep, it transforms. It's from Transformers. So if we see the next picture, it transforms. It all unfolds and it becomes a big robot like this, and there's toys that unfold, and they're really cool. So what makes, I mean, we've already said it, but what makes all of these different vehicles or objects special? Because they start off ordinary, but what do they do? Yeah, they change, exactly. So they change or transform. They've been made to do something different that's out of the ordinary. And in our Bible reading, we just heard it said that we should not try and fit into this world, but be transformed or changed by how we think about things. And when we focus on God, when we pray, when we read our Bibles, when we get to know, learn about God and get to know him personally as well, we start to think differently about things, don't we? We see the world differently because we start to see the world through God's eyes. And that makes our behaviours change, what we do changes, and we start to become a little bit more like Jesus. And when I was thinking about that, that's what made me think about all of these different vehicles and things that change. They look really ordinary on the outside. If you didn't know the films or the TV shows, you wouldn't know that it was, you know, just, you'd just say, oh, it's just a yellow car. But they do so much more than they look like they do. They were made to have a special purpose. They change or transform into something really amazing. And as I was thinking about that, that made me think about us. Okay, so we look, I'm not being rude, but we all look fairly ordinary on the outside, don't we? Pretty, yeah, well, I mean, some of us, you know, maybe a bit more than others. But we look like all human beings, don't we? Nobody would look at any of us or most other people walking down the street and go, whoa, there might be some, but not that many. But God has made us to be transformed people. And he changes us to be more like him. And he gives us a purpose, each one of us, our own purpose in life. But he gives all of us the purpose to be more like him, to follow him and to do some of the amazing things that Jesus did because he set us a great example. I think that's really incredible. So in some ways, if you ever see Transformers or any of these vehicles or anything else that changes from one thing to another, just remember that we are like that as well. At the beginning of this month, I was away in Manchester at the annual Youth for Christ conference. It's a time to gather together most of the staff with Youth for Christ, the people who work at the headquarters, but the people who work and volunteer in the 60 centres from around this country. And we even had some international workers as well with us. We all get together in a rather tired-looking hotel. When you look closely at the details, it's a little bit sad. But we have a really wonderful time together. And I believe there's over 300 of us there. So we all pile into this hotel, the Britannia Country Hotel, as one big Youth for Christ family. That's how we view ourselves and we treat each other. Old friendships are rekindled. We eat together and we catch up on how things are going. We have plenty of times of sung worship. We have a multitude of seminars, too many that you can go to all of them, which is very frustrating when two clash that you really want to go to. And each morning, we have a Bible teacher who teaches us for 45 minutes each morning from the Bible. And this year, our conference theme was Transform. It's based on Romans chapter 12, which we've just heard. And to be honest, not to be one to waste good teaching, I thought I would share that with you, the teaching that I heard. Our speaker, Leon, easily taught us for, I think, about 135 minutes over three mornings. Don't worry, I'm not going to follow in his footsteps. I've decided to extract some of the things that he said because it was really powerful teaching and I got a lot out of it and I wanted to share it with you. So that's, I'm kind of saying I've plagiarized his teaching. I'm using his teaching and I've added in things to make it relevant for us as a church. So Romans chapter 12 is about being transformed. In the first two verses, Paul explains what we need to do, what we need to do. He calls for a transformation of our minds. This is something that we need to carefully consider and choose to do. It's not a feeling, it's a choice that we make. As a logical response to God's mercy, we are to be living sacrifices to God, offering all that we are and all that we do. And for this to happen, we need to be different from those around us in the world. It isn't really possible to be completely and fully dedicated to God in our lives if we're caught up in some of the things that we see around us, like consumerism or power plays, our outward appearance, or being selfish. We need to put those things aside. And if we don't have a conscious, thought-out decision to be different, then we are likely to be just like everybody else, because we live within this world. We are in it, but we're told to not be of it. Don't be conformed or moulded into the thoughts and actions of the culture around us. We are to be transformed back to how God intended us to be, actually. And here's the reason Paul gives us for why he urges us to do this: so that we will know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. I still find it amazing that that's possible, that we can know God's will, but we can if we're tuned into him in our thoughts. And from what we think, that changes our behaviours, our habits. And then the rest of chapter 12 is dedicated to how we live this countercultural, transformed life. So we're going to look at three principles that we see played out in a transformed life, and the enemy of each one, the things that stop us from embodying these different principles. So the first principle is to be humble. Verse 3 says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Well, that's a challenge in itself, isn't it, sometimes? Of course, we can and we should recognise what we're good at, and we should do our best to excel, even in the small things. And we can be really pleased with our achievements, but we can also offer God the glory for making that possible. So stay humble, but beware of the first enemy of transformation, which links to being humble. The enemy is ego. Our ego determines how much we will transform. Ego puffs up and wants immediate gratification and recognition. It doesn't want to wait. We need to be patient and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. And that can take time and hard work. And we all have an ego, so how do we keep it in check? Well, we'd stay humble. We need to be curious. We need to keep learning. Don't think that we know it all. We need to be vulnerable with others and with ourselves. And we need to depend on Jesus in order to stay humble. The next principle of a transformed life is belonging. So verses 4 to 11 speak to us of being parts of the same body. We belong together and we all have our place. Belonging is deep and it's vital. Fitting in is being accepted for who we're trying to be. Belonging is being accepted for who we already are. I really love that saying. I heard that recently. Fitting in is being accepted for who we're trying to be. Belonging is being accepted for who we already are. Church should not be a place for fitting in. We don't need to be pretending here. This is to be a place where anyone who walks in the door is loved and accepted just as they are. We're not to judge. That's not what God has called us to do. We're commanded to love. You might be able to think of examples in your own life of times when you feel like you've had to fit in. We've had to change your behaviour a little bit, maybe what you wear, whether you wear makeup or not, all kinds of different things, just maybe little things, just so that you feel like you fit in, maybe at work, with a friendship group, maybe even at church. And I know I've been in that place with a friendship group, and I always felt like I wasn't quite the same as everybody else, and I changed myself a little bit. It was small things like wearing makeup when I went to see the girls, but there was always like this little niggling, like I didn't really belong with them, and it's not a comfortable feeling, is it? It's not the same as really belonging. And I hope that we can all think of examples where we do know that unconditional love, where we feel like we truly belong, wherever that may be. So the second enemy of transformation that sits alongside belonging is isolation. God has made us to be in relationship with other people and with Him. And transformation can't happen when we're alone. Sometimes other people isolate us, but we can also isolate ourselves. Isolation is a tool of the enemy, and solitude comes from God. I find that reassuring because I really like being on my own, but being on your own can come from God and He can be with us. But when we're isolated, we're set aside from other people in a more negative way. And there's a difference between isolation and solitude. This is me. Isn't it easy just to get on and do things for yourself sometimes? It'll be quicker and you know exactly how you want it to be. Well, here comes my ego again. And if you might recognise that. What if somebody else, if you join with somebody else, what if they have different ideas? And even worse, what if their ideas are better than yours? Rather just go and do it and be in control and do it all by myself. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. And you know what, I think sometimes we can, when that is our attitude, we can dress it up as not wanting to burden other people with extra work. But really, it's just because we want to do it all ourselves. Well, that's not always a good thing, because that's isolating ourselves. So to defeat isolation, what we need to do is collaborate with other people, work together, even when we would rather not, because of those reasons. We need to be vulnerable and share our weaknesses with each other and be aware of them in the first place ourselves. And we need to be a place of true belonging. We need to allow ourselves to belong, warts and all, and not hide behind a mask to just fit in. And that can be painful sometimes, can't it, if we're showing our vulnerabilities. But for transformation to happen, we need to accept ourselves and each other as we are. And that's our starting point. Then the Holy Spirit can do His beautiful work of changing us from glory into glory, as we will sing together later on. And our third and final principle of transformation is to have thick skin. I couldn't think of the right word, like one word to sum up having thick skin, and I didn't want to spend a long time trying to work that out. So we've got to have thick skin. I think you understand what I mean by that. So are you easily offended, or do you have thick skin? We're all different, and our different life experiences will play a part in how we think and respond to what people say and do that perhaps aren't nice when things get personal. And that does happen sometimes in life, doesn't it? Hopefully not very often, but it can do. And Paul recognised that in this chapter. It's a huge challenge to not take offence. And it's certainly a transformation of the mind to be able to let go and not to absorb that negativity into ourselves and react to it. But I think we need to take a step back metaphorically when we're in that situation. Verse 17 says, "Don't repay evil with evil. Do what is right in the eyes of everybody." So here's a good example of not conforming to the patterns of this world. The prevailing worldly wisdom says, get your revenge, find your own justice. There's TV shows about revenge. It's a big, big thing. So the third enemy of transformation is offence, taking offence. And in order for us to defeat that, we need to look to verse 18. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody." As much as we can, we respond with peace. When the going gets tough, we don't get tough back. And being realistic, sometimes we can respond in a peaceful way, but it doesn't change how the person is reacting to us. And if that's the case, sometimes we need to remove ourselves from that situation to keep ourselves safe mentally and physically. That doesn't mean we retaliate. We need to trust God to act justly on our behalf. Verse 19 tells us to not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. It's a bit scary. I wouldn't want to be on the end of that. We are to overcome evil with good in practical ways. And Paul speaks of us feeding our enemies. And to me, that means showing hospitality. That's a big challenge, isn't it? To offer hospitality, which in some ways you could show as an act of friendship to somebody who you might consider an enemy. And we are to bless those who persecute us, pray for them, proclaim God's blessings over their lives. That is a huge transformation of our minds to be able to do that. When we carry out these actions publicly, we will stand out as different. Questions will be asked because people won't understand what is going on. They won't know why you are being so humble when anybody else would be blowing their own trumpet. They won't understand why you might be showing vulnerabilities or showing your weaknesses in a way that could disadvantage you. They won't understand you not retaliating and instead showing love to those who hurt you. And those things are amazing witnesses. People see our faith lived out in our lives when we do those things, and many more. And if any of you are thinking, well, that all sounds quite easy, I reckon I've got it all sorted out already, well, then check your ego. If you know you need to change and you think you know how to do that all on your own, all by yourself, well, don't isolate yourself. Find somebody to walk with you through that transformation. And if you're holding a grudge and you feel justified in doing so, take it to the foot of the cross and then leave it there. Living according to God's will instead of the current culture sets us free, and we will be free indeed. Amen. Shall we pray together?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that it all starts with you. We stand here once again this day. We've heard your word and we've heard your challenge. That in you we can be changed. We can be transformed into people that you would have us be. People who are living in truth, in purity, in love. People who depend on you and your Holy Spirit to guide us. And Father, we stand here today, dedicating ourselves to you once again, asking that you accept us. We give ourselves as a sacrifice to you. We surrender every part of ourselves to you, asking that you will transform us. You will change us. You will renew us. And we know that we can depend on you to do all that you have said you will do. You will never abandon us. You will never leave us. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.